We've been singing, haven't we? There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like Jehovah. And we've been looking at the different names of Jehovah over the last few weeks. And today we're looking at Jehovah Tsuru. I think that's how you pronounce it, Tsuru. Sometimes just Jehovah Tsur. Our house in Darlington, when we lived there, was called Beth Tsur, which means the house of the rock. And Jehovah Tsuru means the Lord is my rock. He is my rock. He's rock solid, dependable, unshakable, isn't he? For each one of us. Now, our son, when he was a little boy, always wanted to watch Doctor Who. But he was a bit frightened of Doctor Who, so he used to go and hide behind the settee and have his hands like this. So he could just see, you know, through his hands, but, you know, he was a bit frightened, especially of the Daleks when they came on. But, yeah. Well, I've been a bit like that. I don't know if anybody else here has been watching Breaking Dad.
Yeah.
Yes. Bradley and Barney Walsh. Go in their camper van, and Barney, Bradley's son, is trying to find more and more daredevil things and tricks for his dad to do. Like this week they were going down a waterfall, and it looked pretty awful. And Bradley very often is sort of freezes and can't carry on. Well, 2 weeks ago they were in Mexico, and they saw this mountain. Well, it had two peaks at the top of the mountain, and it was just sheer rock. You would think there's no way you could get up there. But they struggled up. Well, Barney went up in no time, but Bradley was sort of dragging along behind. And they got to this part. We got a picture. Yes. Fairly near the top of the mountain, and the mist came down. And what they had to do was sort of swing from one peak to the other peak, but they couldn't see where they were going. And they had to sort of take a run at it and then just swing across on this rope. Well, again, Barney did it in no time, but Bradley was just sitting there going, I can't do it. I can't do it. But in the end, he'd actually did do it. And they got to the top of the mountain, sat on the top of the mountain and ate pasties, as you do. Yes, they actually did it, yes. But it was sort of looking at that and thinking of the Lord as my rock. It was just sheer rock that they were climbing up. Now, that's not my idea of climbing a mountain. My idea of climbing a mountain is, I think, like Snowden waking up in a little train, or I'm all right with a cable car, even as long as there's a cafe at the summit where you can stop and have a coffee, and there's some strong rails going across so you can sort of stand back and have a good look at the view, which is usually spectacular. But that's my idea of climbing a mountain, I'm afraid. Not Bradley Walsh's. Not for me. A man called Augustus Toplady. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? Augustus Toplady. Anybody heard of him? No. He was an Anglican vicar in the 18th century. And one day he was going home. He lived in North Somerset, I believe it was. And suddenly a storm came down. And I mean, it was lashing against him. And he was trying to sort of fight against it, like we were with the wind this morning on our way here. But he was trying to fight against this storm. Suddenly saw this rock in front of him, went towards it, and there was a big cleft in the rock. And he was able to shelter in the cleft of the rock and until the storm passed, when he was quite safe to come out. Then he went and wrote these verses. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed Be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. Rock of ages, cleft for me. There's safety, there's security, there's shelter from the storm. In fact, everything that we could need in this life in God, our rock of ages. Always remember my mum, when I was a little girl, singing, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, anchored firm and deep in the Saviour's love." Everything we could need in this life, our rock of ages. A very well-loved Bible teacher that Duncan and I had when we were in YWAM taught us the law of first mention. That when you're looking at a subject, you find out when it was first mentioned in the Bible. So when we're looking at a topic like God our rock, it's important to look at when it first comes in the Bible. And the first mention of it I could find was in Genesis 49. And Jacob was blessing his sons before he died. And he was blessing Joseph, who was always his favourite son. And he said this in Genesis 49, beginning at verse 23, about Jacob. "With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady. His strong arms stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Israel, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel." The shepherd, the rock of Israel. And in Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4, we find, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself, is the rock eternal." The rock eternal. And when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they were supplied with water from the rock and honey from the rock. And in the flyleaf of my Bible, I've got this written down, which I look at time and time again when I think about God's provision for me, for us, for all of us, for the children of Israel. The fact was, for all the men and the women and the children and the animals that were going through the wilderness every day for 40 years, they needed 11 million gallons of water a day. 11 million gallons of water. I can't even visualize that. But every day, day after day, for 40 years, God supplied that amount of water. What a wonderful provider our God is. In 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4, it tells us they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the same spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Now, stuff happens in life, doesn't it? Sometimes expected, sometimes like a thunderbolt out of the blue. In just a moment, everything can change. So where else can we go except to the rock of safety? The rock that covers us, the rock that keeps us secure. He keeps us steady in the middle of life's difficulties. When we stumble into fear and anxiety, and it's been so easy over the last few years, hasn't it? We can call on Yahweh Tsuri to pull us out and set our feet again on solid ground. There's no rock like our God. There's no God like Jehovah. Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Now, without this faith in God, our rock, we're left with our own efforts, aren't we? Which always fail us eventually. But rocks are solid, strong, difficult, or even impossible to move. God is our rock, who never changes. He's always strong and solid. He's there for us when the world around us shifts and moves and falls apart, because he never will. When we're spiritually dry and beaten, the Lord is our rock, again, that never, never fails us. After my accident back in October, during the long period of recovery, I thought, oh, it'd be good, you know, to have this time to get into the Word more, to pray more, to seek the Lord more, to hear his voice more. But it just never seemed to happen. I picked up the Word and it seemed dry and uninspiring. Well, usually God got something to say to us, hasn't he? But to hear his voice more? No. I certainly heard the enemy's voice more, especially during the nights. But God seemed a million miles away. All I could do was cling to the rock and know that he would never fail me. To know the truth of his words, that he will never, never, never leave us or forsake us. Doesn't matter about our feelings, that's the truth. He will never leave us or forsake us. That my life is hidden with Christ in God, that double security. The rock of ages cleft for me, security in there. King David got into some very difficult situations in his life. And one time, running for his life, he cried out to the Lord, and it's in Psalm 61, verses 1 to 4. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Amen. David, you know, was a man after God's heart. A great king who made a mistake with Bathsheba, who went on and repented, and went on again to be a great leader and king. But at this time in his life, he was grieving about his son Absalom. Now, Absalom was very much loved by David, very much loved by the people. He was a very good-looking man, very, very popular with the people. And he used to stand at the gate when people were going in to see the king with their claims, with their complaints. And he would sort of stop them before they went in and sort of say, you know, what they should do, how they should do it, you know, solve things for them. And he became so popular, became so proud, that he thought he could do a better job of it than David could. So he got the people, his followers, to proclaim him as king. David had to flee for his life with all his attendants, with all his followers, and hide among the rocks and cry out, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, Absalom's kingdom fell apart, and Absalom was killed, and David was really remorseful, really upset about that. David was reinstated, But you see, a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. A divided city cannot stand. A divided government cannot stand. And a divided church cannot stand. So we must strive above everything else for unity. Jesus said so many encouraging things, but he also said some very hard things. One of the hardest is in Matthew chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Beginning at verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" It's amazing to think it's possible to do all these things, prophesying in the name of Jesus, without really knowing him, without having that intimate relationship with him. How awful to hear him say, "I never knew you." We're spending several weeks sort of looking at the nature and the character of God through his name, so we get to know him more, get to know him more deeply, and share him more. I wonder today, do you know him? If you're not sure, then come and have a word with us afterwards. The passage in Matthew 7 goes on to say, from verse 24, "Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Like here in Israel, there are many dried up riverbeds. And we hear it many times when people here have built on ramblers. I think there's some houses on Campusall that sort of tell us all about that. It looks fine, doesn't it, when it's absolutely fine weather. But when the rains come, that quiet and peaceful place that was built becomes a raging torrent and falls down. We need to make sure that our foundations go down deep into the Lord, our rock. In 2 Samuel 22, David says, he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my saviour. From violent people you save me. My rock, my fortress, my deliverer." The enemy is devious and cunning, but he's not creative like God. God's always doing a new thing, and he has great things in store for us here in Wellspring. Amen? Amen. But Satan will do all he can to divide a church against itself, so it won't stand. We have to be so careful, don't we, to stand on our solid rock. Jesus said, you know, "On this rock I will build my church." He said to Peter, "You are little rock, but on this rock," meaning himself, he will build his church. And we believe that God has built his church on that rock. So I just want to say, if someone starts to criticize someone here, don't join him. Let's gossip good things about each other, shall we? It'll always get back to the person, I can guarantee it. But let's build each other up. And please, don't have pasta for lunch. You know what I mean? Together we can go forward, solidly built on the rock of Israel, the rock eternal, the rock of ages, the rock that is higher than I. Amen.